I've never given my testimony before, so if I stumble my way through this, please bear with me. I'd like to start at about the age of five. At the age of five, my younger sister, named Jennifer, was born. And when she was born, there was a lot of complications with her birth. And the doctors basically said, when she was born, that she would die. That was it. And my mother is a Christian, and everyone was like, came to the hospital, and there was all this panic. And when she was born, the doctors actually took her away from my mother before my mother even had the chance to hold her, because they felt that it would be less painful for my mother not to have held her and then have her die. So they didn't allow my mother to hold her. And everyone was amazed at how calm my mother was in regards to the situation at the time. And the doctors had to make some decisions in regards to what to do. I mean, because they had told my parents she would die. And they had to make some decisions, but they didn't want to make them because they didn't want to be held responsible. So they asked my mother, my parents, to make the decision. And so she made these decisions in regards to her treatment. And because it was like, if we do it, she'll may live, but we can't say that she will, like, and that she'll have all these side effects, like she'll be disabled basically for the rest of her life. Do you want a child like this that you're going to have to care for 24 hours for the rest of your life? And if we don't, like, it was just a slim chance that maybe if they did give her the various medications and that she would live, but did they want her to live with all these problems? And everyone was saying, couldn't just believe how calm my mother was. And it was later that my mother told us all that she had just asked God what to do, and he told her what to do. And I used to run around school, like, she was very, very ill. It was always touch and go for months after she was born. And I used to run around school telling everyone that my sister was in a cookie tin at the hospital because I didn't know how to pronounce the Unicrib. And I believe that sometimes God allows these things to happen in order that it's a witness not only to, like, our family but to entire communities, because we were, ever since I can remember, I mean, I've been going to Sunday school, and in our town where I lived, there was a bus that used to go all the way around the town and used to pick up all the kids. And because my mother couldn't take us to Sunday school, there was always someone who used to come and get us and put on the bus, take us to Sunday school, and everyone would want to be knowing how she's going. Now, she was born with, her feet were twisted right round the wrong way. They told us that she would never walk, she may never talk, she'll have permanent brain damage, her teeth, she may never develop nice teeth, she'd probably have, if she had any hair, it would be hardly any. But anyway, my sister turns, she was born on an Easter Sunday, 3 months premature, and she turns 20 next April. And the big joke in my family is, because I've got the least amount of brains, is that perhaps if they'd given me a shot of oxygen when I was born, then I would have more brains, because she is a highly intelligent person. She can walk, play sport. To look at her, she's the most beautiful physically looking person you can ever see. She has a mass of hair, and But for long stages, like, my mother used to be afraid to brush her hair because, like, she'd have about 2 strands to put up in a ponytail. And they'd given my parents a date by which she would walk, and she'd gone miles over that date, and they just thought she would never ever walk because her feet were right round the wrong way, and she had to have all this treatment to bring the feet right round the right way, and they told she'd have to have operation after operation nearly every year of her life until teenagehood. But my mother said that she just kept asking the Lord what was the best decision to do in regards to my younger sister's treatment. And I remember coming home from school one day, because after she'd gone quite a while over the time span that they'd given for her to walk, because they'd said if she doesn't walk by a certain time, she would just never walk. And she'd gone over it. And I remember coming home from school one day, and I couldn't find my mother anywhere. And I went into the bedroom, and she was bawling her eyes out. And I thought something really horrible had happened. And she was crying because my sister had got up and walked. And my sister used to run around. My sister knows that every day of her life is precious because God could have chose not to have allowed her to live. And she used to run around saying, when I grow up, I want to be a doctor because the doctor saved my life. And Mum goes, no, that's not quite right. The doctors didn't save your life. And Mum said, God chose to preserve your life. It is due to God that you are here today. And then she used to say, God the doctor saved my life. And to know her, like, because she values so much every day of her life, she's just a beautiful person to be around. And so I always knew that God was real, and I, when she was sick and for hospital such a long time, I used to pray to God, you know, I'll give you all my toys, you know, just to have her live. And so I don't ever remember denying the existence of God. To me, he was always there. And growing up, I couldn't understand when just being with friends, and they hadn't heard of God or knew about God or anything. But during my teenage years, I guess you could say, I read this once and it just stuck in my mind, that I had a spiritual temperature of sub-zero. Because, like, to live a life for God was a boring life. You couldn't have fun. So I rebelled, and I actually hated my parents forcing me to go to church and Sunday school and the rest of it. And I moved out of home at a very young age, and I just decided to live the life that I wanted, and that was a life without Christ, because I thought to have a life with Christ you couldn't have any fun. And when I was, but like, I still didn't deny God or anything. It was just like a putting to the side for a while, so to speak. And then when I was about 19, I was really sick. I had anorexia nervosa, and one night I just got down on my knees, and I just felt so unloved, and I was just, you know, crying out to the Lord, and I'm just going, oh, how did I end up like this? I never imagined that this would be how I was, how my life would be at 19. And I was like, I don't know how long, I just like pouring my heart out, and I was just going, you know, I'm so sorry. And I went to bed, and I just felt, because anorexia nervosa is basically you don't feel accepted, you don't feel loved for who you are. And I went to bed and I just said, you know, I want someone to tell me that they love me, to hold me, to hug me. I just want to feel loved. And it was like God said to me, but I love you, Tony. And I always knew that, but I guess I just hadn't accepted his love. And even after that happened, it was like, oh yeah. And then I lost, other things happened and I was basically back to where I was before, and I wanted out again. And I said to God one night, you know, I just want out, I can't handle this anymore. And I said, I don't know what to do, I don't know, you know, I want out, can you get me out? And I turned up to work the next day, and it was Wednesday, which was our payday. And we got paid, because you usually get paid at lunchtime. And then about 5 minutes before knock-off time, we all got called out into the office. And my boss started to cry. And he said, look, we've got financial troubles. We can't afford to keep you. The company's finished. You haven't got a job. And I went, what? It was like, what do I do? It was like, it was just such a shock. And, but I didn't realise, 3 days later, I did have a new job, and it was in Mullumbimby. And for ages, I just, you know, it wasn't a very good job at all. And I'd started to get a bit bitter towards God, you know, why did I, because I thought the job I had in the town where I lived before I moved up here, I'd have till retirement age. And, you know, I just couldn't work it all out. And, but then, and I was only here 1 week, and I'm, my first week at work, I met this lady, and I told her I was new to town, didn't know a soul. And she goes, well, come have lunch with my friends on Friday, because she only worked half a day on Friday. And it so happened that she was a Christian, and she was having lunch with all her Christian friends. And then they said, oh, there's a youth group in town, why don't you come along to that, you'll meet some people. And oh, no, I don't want to. But I'd given them my address and they turned up anyway and picked me up and took me. And then certain things just led on from that, and it was like God brought me here to draw me closer to him. And it's just since I've been living here that I've really come to know him better, come closer to him. And not long after I moved here, I started to get really sick. And it just went on for a while and a while. And then I'm pretty stubborn. My mother always said to me, it's too late to go to the doctors when you're dead. And because I hadn't gone to the doctors, I had gotten quite ill. And I had this disease that, in the end I found I had this disease that they couldn't do anything for me. And I couldn't believe that the doctors couldn't do anything for me. I just had to let my body sort itself out. And like they were saying, 6 months to 6 years. And I'm going, 6 years? I'm going, oh, you know, that's a long time. And you may never be fully cured and may never fully recover. And I couldn't understand that either. And I was very physically weak, and I spent a lot of time in bed, so I had a lot of time to talk to the Lord. I quite often, even though I was in bed, I couldn't sleep. And I feel that illness brought me so close to the Lord, because I had 9 months to do basically nothing but talk to him. And in the beginning, when the doctor said there was nothing they could do for me, I went along, went around trying to find, I went to naturopaths and that, trying to find the answers. And I happened to, because heaps of friends were giving me all these books to read for encouragement, and it was a missionary book that one of my friends gave me, and it said that sometimes, I can't even remember how it goes now, but basically what I got out of it was that, because I've been saying to God, well, what's the purpose of me being in bed? I mean, I can't serve you in bed, you know. But basically in the end I just said, I had been relying totally on the doctors and the naturopaths and everyone else's advice to get me well. And instead of just asking the Lord if it was his will to help make me better. And as soon as I realised that, each day I would just do a little bit more and I eventually got better. And, I mean, I was bitter for being so ill, but now I thank the Lord for actually being ill, because I just had 9 months to talk to him and I just grew so much in that 9 months of my illness. And I just find that one of the, I mean, to me, being ill was a blessing for me. And I find it now, like, I walk down the street and I see all these people and I go, I wonder if they know the Lord, because I'm thinking, oh, do they know how horrible it is if they don't and what they're missing out on? And I just like leave you with a piece of scripture, and it's 1 Corinthians 15:55, and it's, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Because to me, I mean, death is what's needed to be with our Lord in heaven, and like, to me it's like a countdown to that day, because I just can't wait to be there.